It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here. He's in Fort Collins. Mary Jo Foley's in Vietnam. So we've got Daniel Rubino from Windows Central and a great show for you. We're going to give the reaction, a reasonable reaction to the Apple announcements, including why the Microsoft ban is really your better choice. It's all up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 404, recorded May 11th, 2015. Sleepless in Fort Collins. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning. And IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills and knowledge up to date. IT Pro TV offers engaging courses streamed to your Roku, Chromecast, computer, or mobile device for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. Go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting snacks right to your door. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like chocolate hazelnut granola. Get your complimentary NatureBox sampler. Visit naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Mary Jo Foley is still on assignment. So Daniel Rubino's here. Paul Thurrott's here. We got a show. Thank you guys for showing up. Paul's in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Such a weird angle.
His Surface Pro 3 is on a stack of towels. So as the show progresses, Paul's head will slowly sink.
I know.
Off the screen. I gotta figure this out. Nice to see you, Paul. Paul's a little bit got a little bit of a cold, so I'm sorry you're not. That's good. That's the way you want to look, right?
That's the Kilroy face.
Good. Yeah. Nice hair, by the way. It's coming in well.
I know. I got to get a cut. It's getting too long.
Look at that. I'm so jealous. Like hair, though. I'm so jealous. You actually have hair.
It's like the matte pelt of a mink.
He's got hair like a mink.
Like a weasel.
And then there's Daniel Rubino, who has lovely, nice Italian hair.
Yes. It's still here. That's the only thing I'm excited about getting older.
He hasn't shaved it. Yep. Yeah, you're not going bald.
Nope. No, I crossed that boundary. It's going to be here for life, I think. So
yeah. That's a good head of hair he's got there. Daniel, of course, is at Windows. Actually, I got the wrong thing. It says WP Central here. We have to fix that.
That's right.
They've rebranded to WindowsCentral.com because it's not just about phones. It's about life.
It really is. Yes. Windows everywhere.
Is there a short URL, or do we have to just type the whole thing out?
Well, actually, if you type WP Central, it'll redirect to Windows Central.
Let's not use WP Central. Let's use WindowsCentral.com. There you go.
There you go.
Fixed it for you.
Thank
on
you.
On the fly. Thank you for filling in. Mary Jo is in, we said, Vietnam, right?
Yeah, so she started in Hong Kong, and then just for a couple of days, and then she went to Vietnam. But she sent some photos that you can display on screen if you'd like to.
She has swayed. She said she'd sway. So do I just scroll? Is there a...
Yeah.
That is beautiful. I mean, this is in Cambodia. Yeah. Ho Chi Minh City. Oh, this is nice. Look at the way this is assembling and kind of motion.
So you could
graphics.
Click on a photo to show it full screen if you wanted to do that.
Can I arrow through them? Maybe no. Is that her? On the motorcycle there.
I think so.
There's a lot of flip flops. Wow. Here's a fish.
Yep.
Nice looking fish with some.
Where's the tartar sauce?
There's mint. It's a minty fish. Ooh. I don't know what
that is. Actually a fish, by the way. And it looks like it's got gross stuff on it, but I think that's just
probably
like
garlic.
Charlie, yeah.
Yeah. The neat thing about Vietnam is that it's of course Asian, but highly influenced by the French. It was a French colony for a long time, so it's really kind of amazing food.
And who knew you could eat a coelacanth?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
It's like a giant dinosaur fish.
And here's a U.S. Army helicopter, a duplicate of the one that flew the embassy staff out of Hanoi after we ended the war. There's a war... looks like it says war remnants, but I don't... It can't be right. That it does. It says War Remnants Museum. I guess these are left behind American equipment. There's Hue. We took the overnight train to Hue. This is beautiful. So is this... This is public? Can I give people the link?
I think so.
Sway.com. I guess search for Mary Jo Foley on Sway.com.
I haven't even tried it yet, mostly because I don't have anything to use it for.
Well, that's the thing. She wanted to try it. I think we're all in it now, right? I mean, it's no longer a private beta. I think anybody who's an Office subscriber can try Sway. Wow, this is great, Mary Jo.
I think my favorite picture that she took is the last one, and I think it's from Hanoi. And it's just kind of a city shot. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The second last one.
Do you think she took these?
The one in the middle there.
This one, I love this. You know what? I caught it too.
Yeah.
Do you think she took these with her Icon?
Yeah, she did. I'm pretty sure she
did. That's pretty nice. Wonder if it has an info. My Sways, create news, sign in. No, there's no. You can share it, though. It'll give you a link to the Sway. Anybody with this URL will be able to view it. That's neat. Gorgeous. Yeah. That is really gorgeous.
I went to Colorado.
Do you have a Sway of your trip to the brewery?
No, I will, though. Maybe that's what
there you go. Sway it. This is nice. Really, I love how it's put together. But, I mean, not only are pictures great, but I love they fly in and the way that all works. Sway.com is a new office tool. We've talked about it before on the show. I'm not sure exactly how to characterize it. Is it a presentation tool? Is it a
It is. It's a standalone tool. It's not like a plug-in for PowerPoint or anything like that. It's but your style office app is a certain those documents or sways, I guess, exist only in the cloud. There's no offline version. I mean, it's kind of a multimedia project.
It's a photo album, but you could do more like PowerPoint-y stuff with it.
Yeah, it feels like an outgrowth of PowerPoint with some more consumer-friendly applications and just for general stuff. Because you can tell all those animations are very PowerPoint-ish.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, and
Paul, you're breaking up pretty bad here.
Is that you have to rebuild the tool to make things beautiful. And the point of...
should we try calling him back? Alex is here. I don't think it's going to improve it. I think it's the bandwidth in your hotel.
By the way, I asked for a wire and I didn't bring one stupidly and I had to go Wi-Fi.
That's all right. I think the problem is not particularly Wi-Fi. It's a bandwidth issue. We'll just hope.
Tell everybody to get off just for the next hour.
I paid for the more expensive tier, Leo. I can't understand why it's not perfect.
You know, the funny thing is your image is gorgeous. You've never looked so good.
Well, I see what you're saying.
From
a clarity perspective.
Yeah. Anyway, when will Mary Jo be back? Next week? The week after? What do we know about that?
I think she must come home next Wednesday or Thursday or something because she's going to just miss the next one.
Just miss the next one. All right. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. So we'll get her back in a couple of weeks. But having Daniel Rubino here is always a thrill. He's filled in for Paul. Now he's filling in for Mary Jo. And we love having you on. Microsoft has revealed how the Xbox will get Windows 10. I am really excited about this because I don't know if you don't want to do that?
Well, I was going to say, maybe Daniel should speak to this because I'll go off on an insane rant that no one will hear because of my internet connection. But, you know, there's been a lot of stuff about the preview release and when's coming and why it's coming. You know, and they kind of posted a blog post that frankly didn't explain anything. But maybe you could handle that from a more even keel than I would.
Right. So, I mean, the big issue is that since the January update, there's been talk of faster refreshes to this preview. And that really has to do with the fast ring, slow ring thing going on. So when you sign up for the preview, you can do fast and or slow. And the idea is fast would go faster. obviously. But so far,
what do you mean,
no
more
difference.
Updates more often?
Yeah, exactly. That you would, and so people are really sort of, you know, it's sort of like Chrome, right? The Chrome browser, like they have the Canary build, and they have the beta, and then they have the public. They have those different levels, right? Canary is the nightly builds, and it just comes out. Canary on Chrome is so like dangerous; it doesn't actually install, like it doesn't overwrite your existing Chrome installation. And so, I think what people are sort of arguing for is like, give us more. You know, I don't say dangerous builds, but more frequent builds. And so this has to do with Microsoft reevaluating what they call, you know, the risk speed ratio. You know, and so they went to a blog to sort of explain, you know, their process, which I actually thought was kind of neat from an engineering perspective. As consumers, we tend to be just like, just push it out. Like, how hard is it? But when you see how many images they compile every day for Windows 10 and how they're setting those out and testing them internally and all the different hardware to test on it, it actually is a difficult process. But it does look like that there's going to be some movement on this in the next couple of weeks where we're going to be able to start getting more frequent builds. In fact, last night there was a they accidentally put, there's an app on Windows 10 called Insider Hub. It's actually really cool. You launch it and it's like a way for Microsoft to talk to you directly about the preview edition you're using. And so a message had gone out saying, you know, things are about to speed up. We're going to start doing daily builds of Windows 10. And if you don't want that, choose the slow ring method. And but it turns out that was posted in error. It was supposed to be internal, but it went external. And so what that means exactly, we don't know, but it's obvious that they're, you know, Abe or Gabriel all has spoken to this on Twitter a little bit that, you know, they're definitely looking into speeding up the rate of updates that people get and the frequency of them, including new features and all that kind of stuff. Because it's been about, what, 6 weeks now since the last update. And so people are just getting kind of antsy. And this also ties into Windows Phone, which has only had that one release for Windows 10 so far, and it hasn't had any more. So.
And by the way, and we mentioned this on a previous show, but it bears repeating, you should follow Gabe Hall if you are not on Twitter.
Yeah,
because he's the, it says General Manager OSG Data and Fundamentals Team, but for some reason he's become a real conduit for information from the Windows team. Yeah.
Gabe's a great guy. It's unfortunate because, I mean, right now they're just kind of disappointing enthusiasts, and I mean, I love the guy. Yeah. But
what is disappointing? Why are you upset? Give me the rant, understanding that you can only do about four words before you break up.
Right.
So do a four-word rant.
Okay. They said they would be more and faster, and there has been less and slower.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just getting silly. I mean, you know, the notion that some build has been held up because of, like, a bug. You know, we used to get builds every single week back in the day. You know, whatever. I mean, we know what we're testing. If you're on the fast thing, you know, whatever. I mean, there are people that really want to participate in the development of this product, and their voice isn't being heard because they never give us anything to test.
You share that disappointment, Mr. Rubino?
To a certain extent, sure. You know, it does make sense. The idea here is like, well, for instance, the Windows 10 on phone version, it's that one version. Honestly, after about the first half hour, like I was kind of like, okay, kind of done with it. Yeah. It's not stable enough to use on like a regular phone, you know, so I'm not carrying it around with me and there's really no new features. You can give feedback on the things they have done. But so people are definitely looking for, you know, if it comes every... even once a week, twice a week, or you know, every 2 weeks, something like that. At least you're presumably getting new features, new improvements, polish the UI, and then we can get feedback to that. And that's sort of, you know, what we're looking for, that punctuation. But you know, when it goes 6 weeks at a time and you get that same build, and you know, even Windows 10, I have an old XPS 13, and I put it on there, and it's like, it's good, but I wouldn't use it as my daily device because the fan kicks on all the time. So there's a lot of like these kind of issues. But, you know, I guess they have to worry about whether or not going to damage people's devices and, you know, blue screens of death and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's an easy task that they're dealing with, but they do, you know, they should probably speed things up.
You think some of this comes from the fact that more people signed up for it than they thought, and now they're worried, oh, it's normal people, too, that are using this? I mean, are they more sensitive to the
Maybe.
Issues that might be?
I mean, you really have to opt into this faster.
It's not automatic. You have to actually say, I want to be on the fast track.
Right, yeah.
If you find able and
yeah, and I mean, I think also like what Paul was saying before, you know, this is the real enthusiast crowd that's doing this stuff. Those are always going to be the most vocal people that want to, you know, download, install this and have all the opinions on every little thing.
Yeah.
And so those people are the ones that are going to get bored the quickest too and want the latest stuff. Even with all the leaks that come out about the new builds, you know, they still want that information, even though they're technically running a leak of an operating system. And so in one way, it's like it's a problem that can never be solved, right? You're never going to really satisfy enthusiast users. If you do it once a week, they're going to start arguing for once a day, then twice a day. So there is that slippery slope of updates. But this is, you know, definitely, you know, 6 weeks is definitely like a long span. So,
and you know, I don't think the phone is as critical. But then again, you know, phone is obviously not doing well in the marketplace. Microsoft hasn't shipped a new flagship in a long, long time. You know, one of the bones you could throw these enthusiasts would be, there's several you could do, but, you know, one would be putting this thing out on the devices that people actually have, you know, and letting them test it on a 1520 or an Icon or a, you know, whatever. I mean, it's the little things, you know, it's the lack of communication building up to that when they could have said, hey, by the way, we are going to ship this thing, but just so you know, it's only going to work on a couple of low-end phones, so don't get all, you know, don't get all upset when it comes out and it doesn't run on your phone. I mean, that would have helped tremendously. And it's not so much the actual speed, it's just the either lack of communication or the inaccurate communication. It gets frustrating, you know, over time,
but it's getting better.
Well, is it?
Paul, we're gonna turn off your video return just for
okay,
just so you don't freak out when we do that. See if that helps.
And then, I can't see you. I can't see you.
And then if that doesn't work, we'll turn off your video to us and we'll just listen to the audio. But
okay,
this might help. That takes some of the bandwidth off.
Yeah. So if I pick my nose, you won't see. Right.
No, we still see you. Please.
Kidding.
Please. Put your pants back on. So. I was noticing in the rundown, though, that they've kind of talked about what Xbox Windows 10 might look like, and I am intrigued by that.
There's still way more questions about that than there were answered. I would say, in fact, a lot of the talk that was given at GDC was more almost philosophical about what Windows 10 is going to be on Xbox. They didn't actually show it. Like, there was no, like, we still don't know what it's actually going to look like, if it's going to be like desktop OS on my Xbox, which I kind of doubt. But, you know, these questions about how it's going to update and can you run apps that are on your desktop on there, like a lot of this stuff still needs to be teased and figured out. And between build and E3, obviously they have their roadmap, you know, plan, even Computex, I heard they're going to be out there. So there's like, they have a roadmap where they're going to be releasing this stuff in a cadence. But, yeah, Paul, if you want to talk about some of the Xbox stuff, because I know you're pretty big on
that. Well, I mean, I just to speculate on the questions you just raised. I mean, I would imagine that Xbox One with Windows 10 looks like Xbox One, you know, like, you know, Windows Phone with Windows 10 kind of looks like Windows Phone. I don't think that it's going to be a duplicate of what we see on the desktop. But but I think the things that it will enable, you know, DirectX 12 gaming, cross-platform play, you know, game streaming, and the possibility, well, not the possibility, but the ability to run universal apps, right, that will work on Windows and the phone and on the Xbox is very exciting. It doesn't mean that every single app will just kind of happen, but I think we're going to see, you know, more apps on the platform because of this.
That's, well, I could tell you right now, I mean, we were debating whether we should do a Windows Phone app. If we do an app, you know, we're thinking of doing official apps for Twit. We're going to do iOS for sure. We're going to do Android for sure. And we're debating, should we do a Windows Phone app? But the prospect of a universal app makes it much, much more appealing. And it wasn't just for the desktop. It's for Xbox. That's that would by itself justify doing this. So yes. It's of great interest to us. It would be so nice if there were kind of seamless integration on the Xbox. If I have to go into a Windows 10 mode, that's not going to be a great...
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, very much what Paul was talking about, where it would be a universal app. You'll download it. You can pin it to your start screen and then launch it, and it'll just be like running a you know, a full-screen modern app on
Windows 10. So that's what we're thinking. We're getting, as I think we talked about this last week, we get a XAML programmer, we do a modern app, and then that would run cross-platform, which would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the big, I think there's a bunch of steps that have to come, but, you know, obviously we keep talking about build because that's the developer show. And but I think a big chunk of answers will come there. And then, of course, E3 might be a logical place for Microsoft to show off, you know, Xbox type stuff on Xbox. Yeah. But I mean, I think another big part of this push is Xbox on Windows, right? Which is something they've had for a while, but in real half-assed form. And I distinctly remember the two big pushes that Microsoft made with Xbox on Windows. One was with Windows Vista, because they knew that was going to bomb. They released Halo 2 on Windows Vista. And the other one was a Gears of War game, the first Gears of War game, which actually had an additional, you know, level or whatever on Windows for whatever reason. But, you know, aside from that, it's been pretty tepid on the Windows side. And so, honestly, I mean, Xbox on Windows in some ways will be better than it is on the console, maybe as a payback because PCs are more complex. You know, you won't have to pay for an Xbox Live Gold subscription to do a lot of the multiplayer stuff or whatever. I think the cross-platform stuff is interesting. There don't appear to be any rules with that. I mean, it's up to the game maker. Someone like Activision probably is not going to enable cross-platform play in Call of Duty because that doesn't make sense. But if you make a more casual game where it doesn't matter, or you can make a game where you require the Windows player to be using a game controller, let's say, instead of a keyboard and a mouse, I think this might open it up in interesting new ways.
Yeah.
And you're leaving it a lot to the developers. So if a developer writes a game and they want it to run on phone and PC, they can basically choose to do that. You know, so just because you create the game doesn't mean it's automatically going to go to those types of devices. Right. It's still up to the developer to go, you know, I don't want my game on a phone. I don't want that small screen experience.
And it's not forced on them either, which I think is a big point. Right. You know, you don't have to, you know, this is how we're going to get Windows Phone out there. We're going to force developers to write Windows Phone apps.
Right.
It's not like that.
And they opened up Xbox Live, right? They have that SDK now. And that's actually sort of a thing that, this is a problem that's been on for a long time. All we've ever done on Windows Central is talk about the problems with Xbox Live and developers, publishers getting their app certified through the system. It's just not worth it for them. And so you've seen games that were Xbox Live on Windows Phone that dropped the certification because they're like, you know what? We just want to update our game and we can't even update it.
Terrible.
Yeah. And it was just and that's why we saw such a slow buildup of Xbox Live games on Windows Phone. It was just the process was a nightmare, and developers had nothing but terrible things to say about it. Now they're opening it up as an SDK. I mean, it's like anybody can jump in on this now. You can just create your game.
Exactly.
And get it.
I mean, that's us. Yeah. I did not want to go through the certification process. I mean, we talked to Rob Greenlee when he was still at Microsoft in the podcast division. He said, it's going to be about $100,000 by the end of the day. If you use one of our certified developers, you could do it on your own. Good luck.
Yeah.
Now, just, you know, anybody, you know, I'm thrilled. I am really thrilled.
Yeah, the prospect of the ID Xbox program for independent developers, and if they can get Xbox Live achievements, I mean, that's just going to be like, people love achievements, right? Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, I don't actually cognitively get achievements, but the people who do like play
You've
for those things.
You've listened to 100 Windows Weekly episodes.
Yeah.
Weekly champion. I love that idea.
I firmly believe that there should be achievements in Windows. That would be so awesome.
So great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we'll talk about it later with beers, but, you know.
Successfully executed a PowerShell script.
Untapped. You know, Untapped has achievements.
The gamification of everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it it's hilarious when you get that achievement. Although it reminds you that maybe you're drinking too much, but it's just like it's fun.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was going to say it's. Yeah. I was with Mary Jo in New York a couple of weeks ago, and I got an achievement from Untapped on almost every single check-in. I had gotten a couple of like flights of little beers, and she was actually kind of incensed by this.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, you have every achievement you can get. You know, you got to leave some for the little guys.
She said, I'm a much bigger grump than you are, Paul.
Like, she's like, what the hell? You got another one? You know. Yeah. That's funny.
All right, let's take a break. Daniel Urbino's here filling in for Mary Jo, who's having a great time in Vietnam. You could tell by her sway. If you go to sway.com, you can see those from Vietnam and Cambodia. And thank you for being here, Daniel, from Windows Phone Central. Paul Thurrott is in Fort Collins. He's just checking the atomic clock to make sure it's on time. I get a sore throat just looking at you, Paul. I got to tell you. Don't you? It's like, you're like the contact commercial. Does it hurt to have a temperature, Paul?
I'm the monkey from Contact. Or from
Contagion from, or whatever. not Contagion, the Andromeda Strain.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Or that, or the 12 Monkeys. I don't know. There's a lot of monkeys. A lot of dangerous monkeys out there. Our show today... Right. Oh, my God. I'm turning your mic off right now. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at IT Pro TV. If you don't want to be an IT monkey, you want to be a great ape. If you want to be a gorilla, if you want to be the master of your own domain, you got to polish up your IT skills. And there is no better way to do that. I just love it than IT Pro TV. Tim and Don, who created IT Pro TV, were trainers in this area for a long time. I mean, they've been teaching people, you know, IT skills for a long time, but they saw what we were doing here at TWiT. They were fans of Tech TV, and they said, what if we made something that's kind of like TWiT, but for IT? That's the best way to describe it. In fact, if you go to itpro.tv/ww and check out what's going on the air live right now, they have a live stream. They'll even text you when the live stream starts. 30 hours of new programming every week. There's a chat to go along with it. And then, of course, as they do the shows, every show is added to their course library. And, man, everything you need to know is in here in a fun, accessible learning fashion. Now, some people I know say, oh, I'm going to learn better from a book. And, okay, fine. But many of us have to hear it, have to see it, want to see it hands-on. And that's what IT Pro is for. I mean, this is how I learn. They have CompTIA. That includes A+, Security Plus, Linux Plus, Network Plus, the Microsoft certs, including MTA, Windows Operating System Fundamentals, MCSA, MCSE, Microsoft SQL Server 2012. They've got Cisco certs, CCNA, CCNP, the ISC squared certs. These are those new security certs that are just great. Their ISC squared guy is so good. You know what their big one right now? It's like, I think their most popular one right now. Certified Ethical Hacker. This is going to be a huge, huge deal for them. They're currently doing the episodes with Sean Philip Oriano. He's their subject matter expert. It's the most requested course they've ever done. Sean is an expert in security. He literally wrote the book on CEH. He's been teaching and consulting in enterprise and in military. And they're going to be streaming live starting Monday, March 23rd. They're going to do it all day, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern through April 3rd. So basically, you got, you know, 2 weeks of training full time. And this is going to be available to everyone, even those of you with the free basic account. That is amazing. So if you've been thinking about getting a certified ethical, I want to take the course. I might have to take that week off. 2 weeks off. Certified. I know none of you are going to be watching us that week. You'll be listening in your car at night because you're going to want to take these courses, and they're free. Certified Ethical Hacker. That starts Monday, March 23rd. You know, you may want to sign up now anyway. IT Pro TV is a great way with hundreds of hours of content in every topic matter. They have a virtual machine sandbox lab. That means you can set up a Windows server, run Windows clients, all with any HTML5 browser, even on a Chromebook. They'll give you measure up practice exams. That's a $79 value, absolutely free with your subscription. There's a low basic rate, or a free basic rate. There's a premium, which is normally $57 a month. Stay tuned. I'll tell you how to save on that. And there's an annual premium, $570 a month. That's, you know, that's less than going to a tech school. That's less than the cost of a study guide per month. You get interaction with the host via chat, Q&As specific to study topics. All the courses are divided up by the topics, by the chapters, by the test questions. Even if you're already studying with a book or if you're in a program, this is a great supplement. They do offer corporate and group pricing. Clients include HP, UCSD, Stanford, MIT, and more. itpro.tv/ww. We've got an offer code for you. It's going to take 30% off. Wow, that is a very nice offer. And it's not just for the first month or year, it's forever. That's less than $40 a month. itpro.tv/ww, browse around. You can even try the basic subscription and just see what's going on there. You can watch on the Roku on your computer. If you buy a year at a time, you can even download the files for offline use. 30% off WW30 and 7 days free at itpro.tv. And you know what? These guys are geeks. They're like us. They're one of us. And they make it easy to cancel. They're not going to try to lock you into this. They're just great. Tim and Don, I love them, and I think you're going to love this too. itpro.tv/WW. WW30 is the offer code for 30% off for the life of your account. Back we go to Sneeze Fest, Fort Collins. Paul Thurrott, he is...
You know, we buried the lead, Leo. There's a new Chromebook Pixel out today.
We spent an hour talking about it on Twig earlier today. I ordered one.
That's an expensive browser.
$999.
Not as expensive
slightly
as
cheaper.
The last one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's got i5 in it. They do offer an i7, although why you'd want an i7 with Chrome OS, I don't know. But Google said at one point that 85% of them were owned by employees.
Really?
Yeah. So really, I think the reason they put this powerful stuff in, you know, 8 gigs of RAM and big hard drives, is because they're running Linux on it, really. You know?
Sure.
It's for the executives. They just want that.
Or executives.
Bragging rights. Yeah.
They sell well in schools. Microsoft would love to have that kind of sell through in schools.
That's why Google made that one, right? It was originally because the executives wanted a nice Chromebook to carry around.
Yeah. Instead of a cheap plasticky one. I agree.
Right.
Yeah. There's a new MacBook, too, you know, by the way.
I've heard something about that.
And a new watch. We'll talk about that.
Surprised there wasn't more news about that.
It's got to gripe Windows guys a little bit that Apple gets all that attention for, like, they own the news cycle for a week, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could announce
it's not just that it's not just that they own the news cycle. It's the, like, fawning that they get, you know?
Well,
it's like HBO has shows like Game of Thrones.
I know.
Like, seriously, you guys cheer for anything.
Yeah.
Like,
literally.
It has a band that you can attach to your wrist. Like, well, yeah, it's a watch. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
I'm always just, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on Twitter, Paul, with just how some people in the media will just, I don't want to say sugarcoat things, but there's a lot of compromises coming with the new MacBook. And I'm actually not, like, even hating on that stuff. Like, I get what Apple's doing.
Accepting of it. It's like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Setting the agenda for the future. It's like, no, you don't understand. I live in today.
Right.
Well, USB-C peripherals.
Let's talk about that, because that's probably the most controversial thing. There's only one connector on here. It does multiple duty, not just triple duty. It's a power connector. It's a USB data connector. It's charger in and out. It's video. It's I don't know what else. Everything.
It actually is none of those things by itself. The only thing it can do by itself is power the machine. You know, you need a cable or something to, or an adapter or.
Well, they make USB type. This is for one thing, and I would think you guys would applaud this. This is the first time I can, standard. In living memory, that Apple has used a standard for its power adapter. That's never happened before.
That's true.
It doesn't happen in the PC world either. I would love to see. Look what we've gained. Look what we've gained in phones by having micro USB everywhere, right?
Yeah. Apple didn't do that, right? So. There are Windows PCs today that use USB for power, by the way.
Are there?
Mostly tablets.
Lenovo's. Lenovo's.
They weren't first. No, they were first to USB-C.
So this USB Type-C, we're going to see on... I mean, we're already seeing them on Windows machines. We're going to see this everywhere. Is this the new thing?
I think so.
I'd be surprised if they didn't put this on their phones. This should replace the Lightning adapter.
I agree.
You know, why not just have one cable that does everything?
It's good for the industry. I mean, I'm really psyched by having a standard for all this stuff. The problem, of course, with this device is that it's the only – there's one plug and that's it. Even on Samsung has their new – what's it called? The Ativebook 9, which I almost ordered, and I'm going to get one real soon. But it's basically the same device as the MacBook. It has the same Core M processor in it. It's got a 12.2-inch screen. It's actually higher resolution, but non-touch as well. But they ended up putting two USB 3.0 ports on it and a, I think, micro or mini HDMI out. Right. On top of the Kensington and stuff. So that's still all on there.
What bothers me about the Apple. You could have fit those things on there.
Well, okay, but let me, all right, let me just pose the opposite point of view. I just think about, and maybe you can tell me, certainly there are plenty of people who need all those connectors. But generally, when I'm using my laptop, I don't connect it to anything. It's a standalone device.
You know what, though? No, this is like, this is like the argument for Windows 8 versus Windows RT, right? You know, you're saying, you know, I want the reliability of Windows RT. I don't want to run desktop applications. I don't need this. I don't blah, blah, blah. Except when you do. You know, for that one moment where someone hands you a USB
thumb drive
stick, it says, just copy the file over. You're like, duh. You know, like, there's an easy fix for the solution, which is don't be so hardline about everything.
Sure.
Put one of the old and one of the new.
Yeah.
You don't have to... You don't have to go kicking and screaming into the future.
Yeah, but this is Apple. Remember when they took the floppy out of the iMac and everybody said, well, how are you going to compute without a floppy drive? This is Apple. That's how they do things. They cut, they go, boom, you're dead. You're dead to me.
The flip side of that is the number one selling peripheral for the iMac was a USB floppy.
Initially,
drive.
I agree.
No, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you don't. The excuse that it's Apple is not like a reason. It's Jobs is gone. Can we be a little more reasonable as we go to the future?
Well, to be fair, they still make their other laptops. If you want connectors, you can get an Air. You can get you can get a MacBook Pro. They've killed it's not that they've said, as they did with the iMac, we're just not going to make machines with floppies anymore. There's plenty of choice. But there are people, I think there are people who, I look at my Acer S7. I chose it because it was so thin and light. And I don't think I've ever connected anything onto it except a power cord.
Okay. I guess what I'm saying is...
It's just one slice of the market.
Yeah. There doesn't have to be the level of compromise that this thing has. I think the other shocking thing to me is I think everyone expected when Apple came up with a Core M machine that this thing was going to get like 25 hours of battery life.
It's only 9. I know. That's a little...
Right. And Daniel knows this because he's tested a few of these at least. It's kind of surprising on the Windows side how Core M machines actually typically don't have amazing battery life compared to a Core i, whatever. So you sacrifice performance. Obviously, there's no fan noise, which I think is important to some people. But you don't gain any... I mean, you know, when you talk about portability, I mean, you know, the smallness of it is fine. Thinness of it is nice. You know, the weight, obviously, great. Battery life, you know.
Apple does sell a $79 dongle, which everybody will buy. That adds power, another Type-C connector, a standard USB 3 connector, and an HDMI adapter.
Yeah, and what that thing is the DVD drive that they started selling for the...
Or the floppy, as you said, the USB floppy. That's going to be the kind of must-have.
Except that they're selling it this time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But people pointed out it's not that different than when you buy a Surface. You have to buy the keyboard, you know, and that's an extra cost, too. You know, it is kind of funny how, like, basically companies pull out features and then sell them back to you.
Yeah.
It's like a separate product.
you're putting me in the weird position of defending Surface. the Surface keyboards are different colors. So you can choose at the time of purchase to buy some color, but you can also choose at any time to replace it or augment it with a different color. So if you have some kind of mood thing going on, I mean, you know, no, I'm just saying I personally, I don't care, you know, myself, but I do think that kind of aspect of that stuff is interesting to people. So I would just say to anyone who's looking at a Surface, you got to tack $130 on to whatever price you
see. That price is not really the price,
And the other thing I'd say,
the advantage you get is it's interchangeable now,
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's nice. You know,
what about this M processor? Now, this is a Broadwell, but it's a Broadwell Y.
Yeah.
Are there PCs with the Broadwell Y out there?
Yoga 3 Pro.
And so what kind of battery life is a Yoga 3 Pro grip?
So this is controversial. When they first announced it, they were claiming, I think, 10, 11 hours, something ridiculous. And then I got one and other people got one. And if it pushed 6 hours, I would have been you know, happy sure. with it. And then now By if the you way, go to
Lenovo. I'm sorry to interrupt, Daniel, but that was the worst thing that happened to Lenovo this year by far.
No, it was not. Okay. Sorry. Even I know that's not true. So, well, that's the same thing that happened to Dell XPS 13, isn't it, Daniel? They claim 15 hours.
Well,
do you get
that's
you
a little
get...
bit more controversial. If you look at Anantec, they reviewed it and they did the two versions, the Core i5, one with touchscreen and one with the Quad HD Touch.
Yeah.
And they actually got 15 hours out of the non-touch version. And they their battery life, and they compared it to, you know, at least their tests are very consistent. And then they compared it to the Macs and other PCs out there. And they said, no, it actually does perform that well. I just think it's real world stuff is going to be a little bit different, of course, you know, how actually people use it. But, I can easily, in real world, pushing my computer, get 10 hours out of the non-touch version.
But you have the non-touch actually, version, right? Yeah.
Well, I have both. Right. I have both.
What you just said is very interesting because that's sort of what I was hinting at with the Mac. You have that choice. In other words, you can say, I don't want touch because the battery life is more important to me. You know? Like, I think that kind of choice is important. You know, just like throwing this thing out.
We don't have any choice. There's no touch choice in the Mac world.
It doesn't have to be touch. There are other choices.
The resolution.
It's 576, I think, dots per inch. But it's a 12-inch.
Whatever it is. So people, this drives me crazy, but I have a MacBook Air 13-inch, the most recent version until they just
updated. And that gets 13 hours. That gets a...
It's 1440 by 900, I think, is the resolution, which a lot of people would say is unacceptably low res. But I got to be honest, the productivity tasks that I do on that thing,
it's fine.
It's fine. And this is what I mean by choice. They should offer a 1440 by 900 version of that machine. And that would be the one I would choose because
for battery life, that thing
would get significantly better battery life.
Yeah. Same with the Yoga 3 Pro. I don't think the Yoga 3, that has a ridiculously high resolution display. And it's gorgeous, but that's also going to kill the battery. And so, but I agree. I mean, I think Dell, what they did with the XPS line, the 13, you know, I compliment them big on it. So it's like that choice between you can get an i3, i5, i7, different RAM configurations, different memory.
But Apple's never done anything like that. They don't. That's right, not Apple. Ever since the days of Guillemio ended, Apple doesn't do choice.
Oh, but except for one, though. It's the watch.
The watch, I mean, 20 models.
I don't say it's worse than that. I'm sorry to segue into this, but I just figured this out the other day, I guess yesterday. Every version of the Apple Watch, and by version, I mean there are three product lines, but then there are multiple
two sizes within each, and then many brand bands and so forth.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's worse than you think. Those bands come in different – there are different versions for the different size watches.
Right.
The bands are not interchangeable. Oh, my God. How are they going to do that?
Well, you know? The watch business is a different business, let's face it.
Oh, this is a crazy product line. I mean, remember when Steve Jobs used to get up on stage and he'd show a grid, four items. We sell this. We sell these two things.
Yeah. There's
now
Pro,
it's like, you know, consumer, it's a, you know, a graphic of the universe. Each little star is a product.
Well, worse than that, if you're a developer, it turns out the resolution, screen resolution, is different on the 38mm and the 42mm.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have to do slightly, but enough that you have to do two different versions.
I just want to mention real quickly about going back to the Core M. It was interesting when I was talking to Dell about when they announced that device and what they were anticipating with Apple. And they were saying they were predicting that their new laptop was going to be a Core M. They said it would be about 2 pounds. They actually had they had it pretty figured out what they were going to do. But Dell purposely chose the Core i5 route and i7 and doing that whole thing with the high-res screens because they said they wanted that extra power and they thought that they could with this new display. Where the battery saving comes a lot from the new Dells is actually in the display. It's a new technology. And so, for Dell...
This is the plane switching thing where it refreshes only the parts of the screen that...
Yeah, I think something like that. Yeah, it's something with Sharp. It's Sharp's technology. But, so for Dell, they could have made this a Core M device, super thin and 2 pounds as well. And that's sort of what Samsung's doing with this, the TV9 book. It's a Core M, and same thing, it weighs 2.1 pounds. It's exactly like the new Mac. It just has more ports. But
13-inch screen, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, Dell, you know, I think, you know, purposely decided, because running a Core i5 versus a Core M, it is a big difference. Now, it's a big difference comparatively. Now, it's another question. If you just use that device by itself, I think it's actually probably fine. You know, Paul, you mentioned this with productivity, writing, you know, in Word and stuff like that, or email and stuff. It's probably fine. But you're not going to, you know, Chrome browser with YouTube gets a little shaky.
Windows setup brings this thing to its knees. I mean, the worst experience you have with it is the time you take it out of the box. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There is something weird about it. But, I mean, once it's up and running, it's good.
All right. So this is good to know for those of us who are interested in this MacBook. It's not a very fast chip, it sounds like.
No. I mean, it's a work in progress, but it's an interesting category. I'm curious to see how, you know, they'll position it and how people react to it. But so far, I'm just more disappointed. I could take slower performance, and I'm fine with that. But give me, like, ridiculous battery life. Give me, you know, if it had 15 hours battery life, okay. You know, now it makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, it's got to be a trade-off for it there to trade-off to make sense.
Honestly, when this thing was – when they first mentioned it, it said MacBook. And I thought, from here, it can go one of two ways. They're literally resurrecting the MacBook brand, you know, which used to be their low-end laptop. Or at some point they're gonna you know, fly in like a new word, nano or neon or some.
Right.
Okay. But once it became clear that this thing was a MacBook, i.e., not a MacBook Air, not a MacBook Pro, I thought, well, the pricing is going to have to be lower than the MacBook Air.
No.
Well, that's what makes this thing weird. Right.
I mean, Core M's aren't cheap. Yeah.
Oh, really?
What they should have done is gone Retina on the Airs and made this thing low res. And they should have made it, you know, $899, and they could have bumped up the price in the years. I mean, that would have been, it will probably do fine anyway. Apple people love this stuff. But, I mean, it's so undiscerning. But,
you know,
I mean,
there's an Asus that's almost identical. This is the ZenBook UX305. It's maybe 1 millimeter thicker. It's about half a pound heavier. Of course, it has connectors.
Retina fans.
Probably no fans. Retina display. I don't know if it's an M. Let me see. It's USB 3, which is an... but not 3 Type C. Maybe not Type C.
Yeah, fanless cooling.
Yeah. And it's a lot cheaper, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Centrino? Is that the same as the M? No.
No.
This is an old computer.
That's the funny thing about the Core M's. The Core M's... by chip aren't necessarily cheaper than a Core I series. Not now. And so what you're really getting with the Core M's are, it's a smaller board. And that's why you're getting these ridiculously thin laptops. And that's sort of the angle. That's what the Yoga 3 Pro is. It's just ridiculously thin. The Samsung Ative 9 is actually, I think it's 11 millimeters thin versus 13 of this new MacBook. So it's actually even thinner than that. I mean, it's just been around for... you know, a while now. It's not just Apple doing it, but none of them are
really,
getting.
Because I was reading the press. And
it feels like
sure.
It's the first time anybody's ever done this.
Yep, first.
Haptic trackpads are not new either, are they? The little buzzy.
The feedback thing. Yeah, I don't know. The funny thing about that, a lot of stuff is when you read the hands-on with people, a lot of people were hesitant about it. They're like, oh, it's different. It's kind of weird. It'll take some time to get used to.
Keyboard, you know. Same thing.
Same with the keyboard.
One of the little stats Apple didn't throw up on the screen, and I don't believe is in their little spec page, is what's the throw on the keys? You know? I'm guessing it's not as good
It's pretty short, I would guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, so, if you see the images.
So I don't think anyone has ever walked up to a MacBook Air or Pro keyboard and wiggled a key and thought, man, if I could fix anything on this keyboard, you know, I'd make it less throw and the wiggle, you know, it's like a non-existent problem.
And it's fine. You know, it's like, you know, I get this, right? We're talking about the Acer S7. That, too, had very little key travel on it. And
the first generation keyboard was terrible, frankly.
Yeah.
Very hard to type on.
I got used to it. I had no issues with it.
They fixed
it in
the Haswell version, but...
Yeah. But I get used to the argument that, like, you get used to it. It's not that bad, you know, that kind of thing. I just wish that the reviewers were as kind to – like they say on Surface Pro 3 too, same thing. Oh, the keyboard's terrible. Da, da. A lot of it is just getting used to it. And once you do, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But with Apple, you know, they give – people are just like, no, it's – it's weird, but you'll get used to it after a while, you know.
Well, what's the phrase they have for, you know, when you're testing something scientifically out in the wild, just by testing something, you've changed it, right?
Confirmation bias. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a part of that that goes into reviewing devices, which is this. Sure. If you review 12, 15, 20, whatever devices a year, you're not using any devices. You're just testing devices.
Right.
So
right.
One of the things that it's important to keep in mind is that most people buy a device and use it for years. And so it may be a little weird to use the keyboard for 15 minutes, but they use that keyboard or that trackpad or that device, whatever it is, for years. And so to them, it's just, you know, it just becomes the way it is. They get used to it.
Right.
And that's something a lot of reviewers never experience because they're moving along to the next thing all the time.
Right. Patch Tuesday was yesterday.
Yep.
Couple of critical bugs in Explorer,
yeah,
for one thing.
I just wanted to mention this because the Freak vulnerability was fixed.
Yay.
As was Stuxnet, by the way. You might have thought that was fixed back
then. Whoops. I had to fix the fix. Yeah.
Microsoft contends that this is, in fact, a different bug, but security researchers around the world all agree it's the same one. And there was some Windows 10 stuff. And then, of course, they issued some firmware updates for Surface, which they haven't done in a few months. Just one each on Surface RT, the first one, and then Surface Pro 3. And then they answered that most burning question we all had, which was they just introduced a Surface Hub hardware, but they have a Surface Hub app. How are they going to handle this? They renamed the Surface Hub app to Surface. So all that stuff happened.
All that happened.
Although, and also with the firmware update for the Surface, it's had something to do with the pen functionality. But
yeah.
I think they're laying the groundwork. I think what's going to happen is that Surface app now in the store will get an update, and it's going to enable some feature with the pen that isn't there. That's typically how these things go. So we don't know what those are, but I'd be kind of curious.
Yep. Yeah, like the app could be updated with some new functionality for the pen now or whatever.
Yeah. Can you imagine what a Surface Pro 4 might look like?
When would that be?
It's going to look a lot like a Surface Pro 3.
It would be pretty soon, wouldn't it? Like maybe with Windows 10 in the fall?
You would think that would be perfect timing. Couldn't imagine them not doing something like that because, they're going to do Windows 10. They want a big device to launch with it. And, you know, you got to give the Surface team some credit here. I give them a lot of credit, but with each generation, and especially with version 3, they're really sort of hitting their stride now with what people want, what works. So I'm real curious to see what comes with 4 because I think whatever drawbacks 3 had, they're pretty adept at fixing those things.
Add a USB port, modern processor platform would be very obvious changes, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but form factor mostly the same.
I would think so.
It's got a great screen, nothing to change there. You're not going to make it bigger or smaller.
And they've pledged forward compatibility
maybe
on
thinner,
accessories.
Maybe thinner. Why don't you replace the USB with Type-C connectors and make it thinner?
Or add a USB-C
connector. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to see Type-C everywhere. Just because.
How about replacing the power with USB-C?
Now, there is, I don't know what the limit is, but there is a limit to how much you can power with a Type-C connector.
I see. So maybe it couldn't do like an i5.
It may not be able to do a big, juicy, 25-watt.
What about a Core M-based Surface that's like a non-Pro Surface?
Ah.
Right. Yeah. That's
why not that.
Surface M, as it were.
That's an I would buy that.
Surface Lite.
Yeah.
Yeah. But only if it gets like 20 hours of battery life.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how they're going to fix that.
Let me just see what I'm just looking to see what the power rating is for USB Type C. Is it 3 amps? So it would go up to 15 watts? I don't know. It's hard. I'm reading specs.
Sure.
It's hard to figure this out. But I'll keep looking. And while I'm looking, let's talk about the biggest news to hit Apple all week.
Huh? Oh, the Office.
Office 2016 is a preview, a beta preview right now. You don't even have to pay for it, right? You don't have to be a subscriber.
Yeah. Get free Office for a little while. I'm really only using Word, and so that's all I can speak to. I don't know if, Daniel, if you have a Mac or whatever to test this on, but you know, the testing I've done, you know, first you look at what commands are there, whether it matches the Windows version, which
it looks a lot like the Windows version, I would say.
Yeah. Which I think is smart, you know. There's some, I noticed some default style differences between the two on the default document, which I think is actually a huge problem, which I hope they fix. But honestly, I've always thought that Office for Mac was terrible and very confusing user interface, mismatch of ideas all over the place, you know, stacked toolbars and ribbons and Mac UIs and stuff. And I think this new, at least, you know, Word especially, I think it looks clean. It's nice.
It's reconciling the two versions, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about Office to be able to say whether it's a preview of something that might be coming in Office for Windows. It looks pretty much like Office for Windows, but I honestly,
maybe I'm missing something, but I haven't seen any major new functionality that's not in least Word 2013. So,
Right.
Well, I'm running Office 2016 preview, whatever that is, and it looks very much like the current Office. Although you get the dark background now, which is awesome.
Specs on USB Type-C, by the way. Two channels, I didn't realize this, but two channels of 10 gigabit USB data. So it's pretty darn fast, and it does support up to 100 watts. 100 watts of power. So that's enough for any laptop. So you could do a Pro. I don't know what the Pro is, but it can't be more than can't be 100 watts.
Right.
So I'm surprised to read that, frankly. That's pretty powerful. So
they've thought of everything.
They've thought of everything. Mm-hmm. Don't know what to say about Office 2016, except you can go get it right now if you're a Windows Macintosh user, and there you have it.
Yep.
There you have it.
It was a big deal last week. This week,
whatever, you know. Did you get some Audible books for your trip?
I did.
Good, because guess what? There's an Audible ad.
All right.
Right now. Audible,
I'm ready.
Audible is the place for your audiobooks, more than 150,000 titles. I'll tell you the book I can't wait to get. This you have read, and we both have read a number of Eric Larson's books, like The Devil.
Oh, that's my pick.
Is it? Oh, good. Yeah. I'm excited about this. He has a new one on the Lusitania.
Yeah, Dead Wake, which sounds like the name of a B-level horror movie, but and maybe for all I know. But yeah, it's. You know what? But the thing that bugged me about this book is they didn't put the preview of the audio up early, so I couldn't. I would have pre-ordered it, but
it's Scott Brick, who is really a great narrator,
kind of a classic Audible narrator.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah,
I listened to it on the plane between passing out.
A stickler for detail and discipline,
this is Scott
Captain
Brick.
Turner called himself an old-fashioned sailor man. He had been born
Eric Larson,
in 1856.
Who wrote the story of The Devil in the White City. Is that what it was called? He's good. I love his stuff.
And yeah, Berlin at the end of World War II.
Yeah, you recommended that one. I haven't read that yet.
Excellent.
The Garden of Beasts, it's called.
Yep.
What he specializes in is going back and shining a light on a little known, you know, the truth of a historical matter. Everybody knows the Germans sank Lusitania in 1915. It got the United States into World War I. But there's a lot more to this than we've read about in the history books.
And there's a lot of stuff that people think they know about it that's not true.
Well, I found the Churchill stuff fascinating. And I haven't read the book yet. I've just read reviews of it. But I cannot wait to read this.
Yep, it's good.
They had broken the German code, much like the Enigma in World War II. They had broken the German code and knew
that the U-boat. In World War I.
Yeah, they knew the U-boat was headed.
Those triangle notes that girls in high school use, like me yesterday.
It's a cootie catcher.
So it was not sophisticated.
We're hiding it in a cootie catcher. Well, anyway, the point really is that Audible has great stuff, and if you are flying, or if you're driving, or if you're doing your workout in the morning on the treadmill. I love Audible. Yep. This is a great way to pass the time, to pump some information into your head or some entertainment, fiction, nonfiction. All the big new ones come out on Audible, so you're not missing. You'll never miss your favorite author. What? Browsing through Audible. This happens every time, you know? If you're an Audible subscriber, that is the sound. You recognize that sound. Oh, I want to listen to that one.
I'll put that down.
What'd you find? Something good?
I don't know. I'm going to hold on to that one.
Oh, yeah. Save it. He's holding out on us. I am very excited about Audible, and I'm really thrilled. They've been with us since almost the beginning. And if you're not an Audible subscriber, you ought to be. And we've got, of course, a deal for you. If you visit audible.com/windows, audible.com/windows. Oh, David McCullough's got a new one on the Wright Brothers. Is that new? Maybe not. I love David McCullough. It's not out yet. There's a pre-order. Oh, his John Adams was fantastic. Fantastic. I love history on Audible, but I love sci-fi too. Get your first book free. Go to audible.com/windows. You'll be signing up for the gold plan. That means a book a month. Your first month, though, is free. And you also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I think a lot of Audible subscribers forget about that. Wait a minute. Command line kung fu. Oh, that can't be good in audio. Bash scripting tricks. What?
Oh, jeez.
You know, people sometimes say, why aren't they more computer books on Audible? I think about it.
That's why.
Never. Well, let's listen. I have to hear this.
Repeat the last command that started with a given string.
Oh.
This is another example of an event designator. Yeah. To recall the most recent command that begins with a particular string.
They have JavaScript programming, Python programming for beginners. What? This is new. They did not used to do this. And they do have the great courses, which is great. So there are computer.
Leo, you know what this means.
What?
Delphi Super Bible on Audible.
I want to hear it. I want
to
hear it.
You really don't.
Dude, kudos to the narrators for
JavaScript. Oh. Is the most widely used.
Yeah, you have to. You know what? I'm surprised they haven't approached me. They have approached me for technical books that they want well read, but I haven't had any programming books yet. Actually, you know what? If you want to learn as you're driving down the road, you can't read a programming book. You can listen to Audible. Get your first one free. Audible.com/windows. First 30 days are free. Cancel any time in that time. You keep the book,
actually read the source code?
Well, they have to, right?
Client-side scripting language that is both really powerful and dynamic. Some of the other popular client-side scripting languages...
Okay, thank you. Thank you!
Let me step through 173 other popular client-side scripting languages in alphabetical
order. Audible.com/windows. You're going to love it. Actually, I saw an interesting... We talked about it on Twig, an interesting story that Google is going to work with Microsoft on... What is it? TypeScript. They're going to use TypeScript for Angular 2, I think. Which,
you know what else they're going to use, Leo?
What?
Most pointer events. Suck it, Google.
Is that on the web or?
It's become accepted as a standard.
I love it. Well, that's fine. If somebody comes up with something that's good, we should all use it. I don't know what you're going to come up with that tissue, but I don't want to.
Let's see how high resolution this screen
all
is.
Yours. All yours. Windows Phone. Any news? I got denim. Everybody, I think everybody's got denim now, right?
So I'm going to let
AT&T.
AT&T has denim.
No. Oh, no? Just for one phone.
I got it on my 1520.
I got it on the 1520.
That's the only one?
That's the only one.
Still not on... Oh, man.
Even the 830 doesn't have...
I know. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. Denim.
Yeah.
AT&T is hell-bent on proving they can beat Verizon at everything. And, you know, as it turns out, they can.
They used to be really good with this stuff. But, yeah, now Verizon actually has denim on all their devices. Even the I was going to say Samsung, but they have not denim, but they have 8.11.
Does the 820 have it? Or is it
822,
You know what is updated on Windows Phone? The Audible app. We were complaining about that, last week.
Leo, we've been complaining about this for a year and a half.
Yeah. I'm so excited. It's a beta still, or is it out now?
No, it's still beta, though it was just updated again today. And so usually betas, in this case, they were upfront with beta testing. They said, we actually have a new version of the works. It's going to be awesome. And then someone found the link to the app. And usually these are private betas, but this one's open. So anyone can just download it and use it. I don't know if that's going to change once this gets out. But, you can just go get it now. And it's actually... you know, seems to be really good. It seems to fix all the problems. Paul, you probably use it more than me.
Oh,
so.
It's, my God, I love it. Here's what I love about it. And I know this is crazy, but when I press play,
it plays.
Audio plays.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. I really like that. Yeah, it's a nice looking app.
You have an article about it on, you probably could go to Windows Central and find out more. Is there a way to search for it so that you don't find the old Audible app?
Yeah, you got to click on the link, right?
Yeah.
Just go read the article and click the link, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can. If you can't, if you search for Audible beta
in
the store, I don't think anything.
No, I tried it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
It's
all right. So good. So now, of course, if you've set this up on your Windows phone, you can do it from your web, as I'm going to do right now.
By the way, maybe Daniel could help with this one. You go to the web and you find an app for Windows Phone. And you've logged into your account. You've selected the phone you want to install it to. You click install. It works for a little while. Then it says, we're sorry. Something happened. That's okay. We'll send you an email and you can install it from there. Has anyone ever successfully installed an app on the web for Windows
Really? Phone? It doesn't work?
It's never worked for me, ever.
I've had it work, but it's been a while. I don't use the method anymore just because I have, like, I think the limit, like, 4 or 5 phones always installed. And so, you know, you have to, like, go and select the phone.
Yeah.
I should try it again. But, yeah, it's been kind of hit and miss.
I think it worked.
I haven't done it to work.
Oh, but I wonder if it thinks that's if it's seeing the old Audible. It says reinstall. So I must have worked. Huh.
Well,
I don't have my 1520 here. I would show you. Contacting your phone.
Well, here's where it fails, Leo.
Oh.
your phone, which is online, cannot be reached.
No, it says congratulations.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a number of phones thing.
It must be, because I have one and only one Windows phone.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
I don't have to do a choice or anything. So, if I don't have the 1520 to confirm, but I'll tell you when I get home tonight.
Should be there.
Should be there. Good.
So, companies are still making apps for Windows Phone. See, it's not all.
Yeah, this bugs me. Major League Baseball decided not to do at bat this year.
Yeah, you know, this came from a customer service interaction with a customer who was asking. So, we used to get the Major League Baseball app, but it used to always come late to the Windows Phone. But at least we got it. And now it looks like this year that they're not going to do it. Now, I don't know. Maybe the rep was wrong on this, but I saw the email and it was pretty specific that they weren't going to have a version this year.
Now, you can use the web, right, for some of this.
Right. I suppose.
That's a bummer. That's really a bummer. Yep. I pay for that every year. Because not for the video, I'm not going to watch TV, but I want to hear the audio and all that stuff.
It's a general thing with the sports apps on Windows Phone, all the major ones. It seems to be sort of an ongoing problem. So,
first banks, now baseball. What's next? Apple pie and Chevrolet?
No apple pie for you.
No apple pie for the Windows Phone crowd.
The funny thing is, though, I do hear of, like, I know quite a few companies that have apps commissioned out for Windows Phone that will be coming in the next couple months.
As I said, the universal changes, we hadn't decided against it, but it was a tough debate. It's expensive to make an app. It's a small market. I said we have to do it because of Windows Weekly, but the debate went away with universal.
Yeah. Right.
Because now I can write, I'm hoping, write one app that will work every one Metro app that works.
So, and that's, like, really good. And that's gonna be the real story for us over the next year and a half, basically, to see does that message resonate. My issue, of course, is companies like Bank of America, who literally today killed their app. I mean, if you have it on the phone, like, it stopped working. So here's a company that's, like, not waiting for Windows 10. They're not, like, saying, oh, yeah. Because otherwise, they just would have probably left their stuff working for, what, a couple more months. They basically pulled their support, and now
that's bizarre, but I guess for security reasons, they can't if they're not going to update it.
Although
Chase is going to continue to use theirs indefinitely.
Yeah, Chase
right?
Chase is not supporting the app anymore, but if you have it, you can still use it, and they're not changing that. So, but yeah, there is that issue with security and legality and maintaining that stuff. But I guess what bothers me with this Bank of America thing is, like, it's gone. They packed up and went home. In order to get to Windows 10, that whole process has to start again now. They're going to have to hire developers. Microsoft will probably have to get involved to try to persuade them, pay some of the bills, and then development and certification. You know, so that's a potential long wait before that comes again. On the other hand, and probably, I don't know if you've written about this, you probably have, with the web app stuff that's coming in Windows 10. So there are web apps coming in Windows 10, which on the face of it sucks, but these web apps are going to have a deeper interaction with the operating system. You can actually tie into the notifications. You can use the camera if you wanted to, so you can actually access the hardware. So it's not just like a shell wrapped around the app that's hiding the web page. These are sort of like web app plus, I would say. And I think that's going to be one area where you're going to see this sort of compromise, where Bank of America may go, you know what, we're not going to do a full native app, a universal thing, but we'll do this web app stuff. You know, which, you know,
it's better than nothing.
I hope so.
Exactly.
Better than nothing. Somebody in the chat room, Hellacat M, by the way, chat room, get ready. We're going to give you a chance to ask some questions if you want. But Hellacat M says, maybe Chase is thinking, oh, we'll do a universal app. We're just not ready to announce it. So let's not kill, you know, the back end yet.
You people are so positive. It's hilarious.
Every time an app gets pulled, we always get the conspiracy people.
It's not over yet.
We're just like, maybe they pulled it because they're going to release a new version.
Not dead yet.
Yeah, it's like there's no reason why a company would pull an app only to release a new version. Like they could just update the one.
I love the positivity. I do. I don't have it in me.
Yeah. Hope springs eternal.
Same thing when Snapchat, when companies like pull the third party apps, right? When they go after the third parties, they're like, they're going to pull those because their app is coming. And I'm like, I would love to believe that, but sometimes companies are just being, you know, enforcing their IP. That's all it is.
But according to Paul Thurrott, we're huge in Italy.
For some. Right? Well, Italy's actually gone down a bit, though. Oh. So that's the number that's here. Yeah.
But it's still pretty big. Double
17% market share in Italy.
They're pretty close to iPhone. I mean, that's almost iPhone.
Yeah, but Android 67%.
No, I get it, but that's almost iPhone.
It's almost iPhone. iPhone, it's actually besting iPhone in 2014.
I pledged on Twitter, you know, after my kids move out of the house, my wife and I plan to move around more and kind of. Kind of like what Mike Elgin did there for a while.
Oh, good. And, when is that going to be?
Forever.
Okay, good. Okay.
So.
Because I don't know if it's going to be the end of our show.
The hotel stuff always works. Why? Yeah. What are you worried about? I'm sure communications will be better by the time my daughter gets out of school. Anyway, I'm just going to live in whatever country in Europe has the biggest Windows Phone market share, and I'll just move quarterly to accommodate whatever changes there are.
Well, I think sometime in Italy is indicated. Yeah, unfortunately, Italy will be followed by Russia, but okay. You know?
Someone said, I hope you're interested in living in India.
Yeah.
Well, no one knows the penetration, I think, in India. We just know it's high because India is just too chaotic to measure actual sales or market penetration. But yeah, Italy does pretty well. France does pretty well. There's
how much
a
of that
countries.
Is the Nokia brand, though?
Oh, it's 95%, I would imagine.
Yeah, but although we've been, if the same, if you look at ad duplex numbers, like the Lumia 535 is a good example of a non-Nokia phone, right? Okay. It's a Microsoft-branded phone.
Oh, and I wasn't including. I meant Lumia. Yeah, I was thinking Lumia.
Well,
yeah.
I was saying Nokia because of their brand recognition in these countries.
Right. And that's what the theory was, that, you know, in those countries, when Microsoft stamped their name on it, this stuff was going to tank. And if you look at Lumia 535, it's actually quickly racing up the charts. Good. It's going to challenge the 520. It's a good device. You know, there's no reason why. But it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the naming stuff anymore. So I think that was hogwash. But
good. That's a relief. Now, I've seen some people. In fact, I saw a post, or maybe it was in the chat room. Somebody said, forget the Apple Watch. The best band out there is the Microsoft band. It's going to beat the Apple Watch.
If you could just buy one.
If you could only get one.
Right.
Well, Leo, they're sold out. What can I say? They must be doing well.
Must be. So what's what makes it better?
Well, it's cheaper.
Yeah. So it's a pickled onion. That doesn't mean it's going to be better on my wrist.
Yeah. I actually don't, you know, necessarily have a problem paying for good technology. I think the weird thing with the, you know, paying a lot of money for the Apple Watch is, of course, it's going to be updated next year and yours won't be. And so that's sort of weird to commit like more than $200 to, in my opinion. But, you know, that's a decision people will have to make. You know, I have a couple $500 watches.
So, you know, Jason Ward's writing this on Windows Central. Why does Jason think the Microsoft band will beat Apple's watch?
So his main thesis there, which I agree with, is that the band, and I've been saying this for a while, it's more of a demonstration device, right? And this is sort of where I think the issues with Microsoft and how to position this, the debate comes up within the company. But the band itself started off as an Xbox project and it branched out. But it's really about the Microsoft Health backend. That's the real story here. And basically, Microsoft is making all their stuff sort of open to other companies. So Health itself as a platform and cloud computing is all going to be available to other companies that can sign up for it. In fact, I think there's already one wearable that is going to be using it. The sensor technology in the band is also open up to licensing. So you can do all that, the same technology behind there, put in your own wearable. And the way Microsoft's positioning the band right now, they're definitely taking a lot of feedback and seeing how they use it. And I think, you know, to some people who follow this stuff, it seems very obvious. It's like, just go sell millions of these things. But this market is still very untested. It's just like the smartphone market was pre-2007, where companies aren't 100% sure what people want. And what they'll put up with, what they'll pay for it, and what they actually use and desire. And that's why you're seeing sort of a schizophrenic approach to these things, where some companies are doing full-on watches, some are doing full-on watches that you have to turn on, some are doing wearables, and it's kind of all over the place right now. And Microsoft is definitely, you know, feeling that out before they go, let's commit like advertising money to this and millions of dollars.
Or even making more.
Yeah. Well, we did do an article that you know, Best Buy is going to start stocking these this month. Right. So that's going to be the first retail presence of the band that you're going to see a big push for. And I think they're holding back some of their own stock to build up for that. But long term, and that's what this is really about. It's a long term thing. Microsoft, I think, is in a better position because their stuff is going to be able to be licensed and open and other companies could use it. Whereas the Apple Watch, they're And this is fine. Apple's purposely making it a closed system that's only works with the iPhone. And by its natural design, it's just going to have a limited market. And then you jack up the price too, and now you limit it more. And I'm sure Apple's aware of this. They've made that conscious decision to do it. But it's just sort of, you know, people who write off the bands are looking just 6 weeks ahead, you know, like, okay, what's the band doing right now? But Microsoft's play on this is much, much longer. And so they're positioning themselves, I think, for a more strategic move in on this this market, which is still, like I said, undefined. So even the watch, I'm real curious how the watch is going to be received.
And honestly, it's almost like they're going to compete by not competing. You know, this thing, this platform, these platforms really, because it's, the, you know, the watch platform itself, but also the back-end Microsoft Health Service, they're all open-ended systems. So, like you said, like Daniel just said, you know, other people can make devices with Microsoft technology in it. Other people can make devices that have no Microsoft technology in it, but work with the Microsoft Health Service. You know, they've made this whole thing open, and so they want everything to interchange and everything to work. And
they have – it's so funny how – times have changed. It used to be Apple had to work with other people because they didn't have any market share, and now it's Microsoft has to be cross-platform. Yeah. Not because they don't have market share, but because
it's a new world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can also, you know, make the argument that Apple is going to sell the watch by sheer force, right?
It's absolutely just brute forcing the watch.
Yeah. I mean, just that night I saw commercials all over TV for it. I was like rolling my eyes. I'm like, Jesus, that started fast. But they're already building that up. And I that's why I think, you know, despite a lot of the criticisms out there about this watch, I still think it's going to do pretty well. I just find the long term. The issue, though, is just like tablets, where the iPad, everybody thought people would get the next iPad. But the thing with watches is people are not going to, I don't think, are going to want to update their watch every year or two. Most people buy a watch and keep it for quite a few years. And so far with tablets, that cell phone shift hasn't happened.
Right.
People get a tablet, they stick with it for longer than some
There's
companies
no
would appreciate.
There's no turnover.
Right. And so I'm curious with watches, especially if you get the $300 watch, the $350, okay, maybe. But, you know, what about the people coming to the $500 and $1,000 versions?
Well, I mean, those guys might end up just buying new bands, you know.
Maybe that's the upgrade. Speaking of which, somebody in the chat room is saying his Microsoft band is starting to wear out already. How you wear it all the time, right, Paul? Is it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous too, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. It's beaten up a little bit. I don't know if you can see it. But
it's pretty durable, though.
It's scraped. I mean, I don't make any attempt to protect it. I don't wear it in the shower, but I don't care about getting it wet.
How much is it?
$199.
So if you had to replace it yearly, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Well, if I had to replace it now, I'd be screwed. I can't buy one.
Yeah.
Well, you do get the, if you buy it through the Microsoft store, you can get the insurance, which I think is $19. And that, if you break it or anything. My band itself, it's like the actual band is fine, but the face of the mine, I don't have a screen protector on it, is pretty dinged up and scratched. But it's also one of those things where it's not a piece of jewelry, and I honestly don't notice it until I hold it up, and because it's black, until you shine it into the light where you can actually see the.
Yeah, right. We're not Apple users, Leah. We don't sit there and stare doe-eyed at our little
business. I was going to say, I think, when they do a version 2, whatever, they definitely, should put Gorilla Glass on the screen. I think it was a cost-cutting thing that they did. But this is one reason why I think they're not mass-selling this, that they're sort of seeing how people even respond, just to the form factor, right? It's people complain that the form factor wasn't watch-like, and you had to do this weird twisting of your wrist and all this kind of thing, which I actually enjoy. I love wearing it on the inside. But have you tried this yet, Paul? The one cool thing about having this elongated form factor, it's got a keyboard on it. And the keyboard works. Like, it's actually they came out with an update, I think it's about 2 weeks ago. And so now when a text message comes in, you have multiple ways of replying. You can reply with a canned phrase. So you just choose phrases on the screen. You just tap and they send off, like I'm driving or something. Then you have Cortana, which you can tap that, then you can dictate your message through it. But there's also a physical keyboard now, and you can just type in a message. And we have a video on Windows Central about it and how it works. And it's one of those things, cognitively, you think, no way could I type on this little screen. And they figured it out. It totally works. And it's really kind of cool to be able to not pull your phone out of the pocket and just send a text message back just by typing on the screen. It feels no different.
Can you dictate with Cortana?
Yeah.
So you can also do that.
Yeah. Yep. Which also works very well.
Yeah.
But you have to have Windows Phone for that.
Right, yeah.
And for the keyboard.
Paul Thurrott, Daniel Rubino. We're talking Windows on Windows Weekly. Daniel from Windows Central. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com and Colorado. There he is. A massive cold. You poor guy. I'm just suffering.
I could tell my daughter was going to get me sick. I told her, I will not forget this.
I'll never forgive you.
She kind of nervously giggled and was like, okay.
Questions from the chat room. Anybody have something for Paul or Daniel? IRC.twit.tv if you're watching live. If you're listening to this as a podcast on demand, don't go to the chat room and ask a question.
Yeah, don't do that.
Nobody's there.
Or they're there and they're going to be really annoyed by your questions.
Phil Harris. This is from Creamy Corn Cob. He's leaving the Xbox division out of frustration.
Really?
Is that a fair characterization?
That's the report. Yeah.
Frustration over what though?
It's internal stuff. It's about him not getting supposedly a promotion or moving up within the company.
So that's not a knock on the Xbox.
No. It's just one of those. Obviously, the divisions and companies have changed. And so some people their jobs have changed and they're not moving in the right direction that they would prefer. And that's a legit complaint. It's just not like someone's abandoning ship because the platform's sinking kind of thing.
But it's not sinking. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about the Xbox, well, actually, there are two things I would point out. One which Daniel will appreciate because he was there at the January event. I thought when, what's the guy's name? Phil Spencer, when he came out, I thought it was a little awkward. You know, this guy from Xbox talking about Windows. I thought he felt a little awkward. By comparison to GDC, I thought he was very natural. And so something good has happened there. It's and I'm not saying he's, you know, bought into it more, more comfortable with it, whatever. I don't know. But the other aspect I think is really interesting here is, because remember, they were embarrassed by Windows 8 when the Xbox One was first coming out. Xbox One is based on Windows 8, but they never talk about that because they're embarrassed by Windows 8. The other thing is, there's been a really subtle shift in language. In fact, if you go back and watch the Phil Spencer video from GDC, he doesn't really, he does occasionally say Xbox One, but what he really says all the time is Xbox. And, you know, this is sort of like the band thing, you know, the way they compete is to not compete. You know, obviously you'd prefer to beat PS4. But if you can't beat PS4, well, we sell Xboxes. And there's a low-end model and there's a high-end model. And if you don't want to buy a console, you can have Xbox on Windows, too, and on tablets and PCs and phones. And it's kind of a more consumer-centric message in a way. Right, where it's just Xbox. We don't have to worry about, you know, okay, so maybe this one's going to technically come in second place or whatever. You know, fine. We're still going to sell tens of millions of these things. And the important thing is Xbox. And I like that change of focus. I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Here's a surprise to me. This comes from Dan3 in the chat room. He says, my Windows update on 8.1 is letting me download the Windows 10 preview. I didn't know it would show up in the update. He wants to know, safe to do? Is it ready to go as a build? How does licensing work? Will it be? This is actually what a lot of people want to know. Will it be free all the way to OEM release? And will the OEM release require a system update? A free format, I should say.
But the reason he's seeing that now is because he signed up for the developer preview or the Windows 10 preview.
You wouldn't see it if you weren't in the Windows Insider program.
Using the Windows, the Microsoft account he's signing into his PCN.
Right.
That's why that appears.
So as far as the updates, as far as the updates, so the big question is, do you need to like reformat the computer when official Windows 10 comes out? What happens to the license? I mean, we don't 100% know, but from past experience with the 8.0 update and 8.1 where there were preview, I mean, you know, Microsoft's not, this isn't new for them, right? The preview stuff. It's new in the fact that they've opened it up more and it's more frequent. But in the past, it just, so your Windows, this is really cool if you have a modern Windows PC. Like, by that, I mean you bought one of probably Windows 8 on it. The licensing key is actually put on the chip on the motherboard, so you don't need to enter it in anymore. I had my computer I'm using right now, the Dell XPS 27, came with, I think, 8.0. I flashed it with the 8.1 update because it would, it came out and it leaked, you know, and so I put it on there. And there was that question, you know, will I get upgrades and all that kind of stuff? But and I didn't copy down the key. Yeah, I didn't have a Windows key. I had no documentation, but I didn't need to. It just, it's on the chipset, and so it just works magically. So there should be no problems with the upgrade. I mean, the upgrade itself is free for Windows 7 users. So,
you guys, yesterday was Microsoft Bob's 20th birthday. Says 3137. Missed it.
Boy.
You guys, come on, get with it. And Battlecam wants to know, whatever happened to cloud rendering on the Xbox One? Didn't they promise there'd be cloud rendering?
Ooh. So that's kind of like that game. Now I'm forgetting the name of it. It'll come to me.
You mean on live?
Well, Titanfall is a good example of cloud processing. They use it for that. There was the, what was that game that was, it was an Xbox Live game for Windows Phone and Windows PC, and it was the space battles. And it would do these like massive space wars, like you'd verse other people, and you'd move your armada and your battle, they would fight. And the battle itself was rendered in the cloud, and then it would download a video to your device. And that video was actually it was your real ships, it was the real battle, but rendered in like the 3D cinematic stuff. And it was a really cool app.
That's
like,
neat. And I think you had to do that because it was so complex.
Yeah.
Weren't there like thousands of people at once playing it?
Yeah, and so it would just like your battle would get queued, and then it would come back down within a few minutes, and you would see who won, and then you can watch the battle. And it was like you watch this like two. It was like a 2 minute video.
Was that Homeworld?
No. I think Galactic Rain.
There you go.
Galactic Rain. Yeah, that's what it was. Yep. And it was just like it was a real fun game, a lot of potential, but. They treated it like it was an experiment kind of for them, and so they pulled the plug on it, which sucks because, like, a bunch of us were really into it. It was one of the few games that I was like, here's a great usage of cloud computing being actually really useful. And I keep waiting to see how that – they should just bring that game back. I don't know. I thought that was really
I want to play it.
The cinematics were really awesome on it. It was
apparently
fun.
Forza does some somebody in the chat room says Forza does some server-side rendering. I don't know how they would do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else? Let's see. Don Matrick is on the Microsoft Dartboard. Okay, I don't know what that means. It's a joke. It's a joke.
He's the former leader.
I haven't heard of him in years.
Right. I think he's on a submarine.
Yeah. Oh, he's the guy who said you can't use Xbox One on a submarine.
I think so.
Is the Microsoft contest for insiders to win a trip to Redmond the kind of olive branch to insiders disappointed at the lack of builds? No.
Nah. They did the contest, too, to Mobile World Congress. This is just them being...
It's just promotion.
Yeah.
Techno Squid wanted to show Paul this.
I can't see it because you don't...
Oh, it's a little family circus. I'll read it to you. Daddy... Are you feeling under the weather or over the weather?
God.
Can you make Paul sicker, folks? Let's not make Paul sicker.
Family
circus. I hate Bill Kane. If not, let me do it again.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to take a break. Let Paul blow his nozzle, and we will come back. I have an urge for a snack. I wish I could push one down the pipe to you. My Nature Box snacks. They're so good. They're so delicious. They're so yummy. I wanted to maybe send some fancy dried figs out to you. That'd be good. Sweet blueberry almonds, flax fortune coins, mini cookies with flaxseed. Yummy, yum, yum, yum. Nature Box snacks come delivered to your door every month. But I'm going to get you some free snacks so you can get an idea of what it's like to try these wholesome, delicious treats. You like spicy? You like savory? You like sweet? This is the spicy variety, jalapeno cashews. Whoa. Now, one thing you'll notice, a couple of things. First of all, the bags are resealable, which is great. You don't have to eat more than just a little bit. They're all nutritionist approved, and that's because there's no trans fats, no high fructose corn syrup, no artificial colors or flavors. It's wholesome stuff, simple stuff that's just delicious for your kids, for yourself. Don't, when it gets to about this time of the afternoon, if you're tempted to head to the snack machine, stop! Grab a jalapeno white cheddar popcorn or cashew power clusters or a whole wheat raspberry figgy bar. Have a little bit of cherry vanilla granola. I'm taking that home. That's breakfast tomorrow. I love Nature Box. You will too. Get your free sample. Just $2 shipping and handling on it. Sent to you direct so you get a sense of what's out there. Life is hectic. It's hard to make the best snacking decisions. So the next time you're looking for a quick pick-me-up, NatureBox. NatureBox.com/twit to get that free snack box. You know, somebody once said that the secret to success for these box things, and there's quite a few of them, is it's like getting a gift come to your door. Like, it just arrives. And every time you get your Nature Box, it's like, thank you. Thank you, Nature Box in the cloud. You've made me a happy man. Start your free trial today. NatureBox.com/twit. Poor Paul. He just, I'm telling you, he just looked terrible.
I'm sorry.
Poor Paul.
He's smiling, at least.
He's smiling, but you can tell. I've been there. I know what he feels like. Tip of the week, Paul Thurrott. Let's get an Xbox One tip here.
I'm going to burn through these really quickly.
Yeah, I'm going to send you home.
It seems like every week or two, Microsoft has a sale on Xbox One. And this week's, I guess, is the entry-level version of the console, meaning the Kinectless version, with Master Chief Collection, right? Which is the four Master Chief games. Yeah, $350. So for the price of just the console, you get all the Halo games. So if you're a Halo guy, haven't bought an Xbox One, kind of a no-brainer. I wish they'd do a Call of Duty thing like Master Chief Collection. But
that's a great idea. All of the games.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome.
That'd be awesome. We have them all already. You don't need that. But
yeah, I don't know where you can get this other than the Microsoft store, but my understanding is it's supposed to be at various retailers if it isn't already for this price. And so $350, you can probably get it locally. It's worldwide, too. Availability differs, you know, depending on where you are. And then I have a second tip of the week. I guess I would have picked the Audible app as my software pick, but I wrote an article again, you know, this week about two-factor authentication, multi-factor authentication, which in Microsoft's world is two-step authentication, and the importance of protecting your online accounts with this technology, even though it's a little bit of a pain in the butt. Rather than step you through it, the important thing to do is just to enable this on every account that supports it. Microsoft accounts do, Hotmail, Outlook, et cetera. Google does, obviously. Dropbox does. Twitter does. All kinds of different companies do with online accounts. And then typically you'll use an app on a smartphone. This is an odd one. For whatever reason, the Microsoft authentication, actually it's called the Microsoft Account app on Android, is way better than any app on any other platform. And the reason is most of the apps work by sitting there and generating codes. And the Microsoft Account app, only on Android, works a different way. So that when you go to authenticate online with your username and password, it asks you for a code. You actually get a notification from the app, and then you can say accept or deny. And when you accept it, the code is entered automatically. You don't have to type it.
I love that.
Yeah, you don't have to kind of rush the clock.
I'm installing it. I wish they had that on Windows Phone.
I know. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's a really great app. But regardless, I mean, you can use Microsoft Authenticator on Windows Phone. You can use Google Authenticator is on iOS. But if you're on Android, get the Microsoft account.
Yeah, so that's important to note is that Microsoft does have an official Authenticator app for Windows Phone. There are a lot of third-party, unofficial ones.
Make sure you get the Microsoft.
And not that this is an open standard, the way they're doing this authentication. You're basically, the way it works is you're given a secret number by Microsoft. And then you put that secret number to the application. It creates a hash of the current time or something like that, the current time with the secret number, and then every 30 seconds recreates that. And Microsoft knows what your secret number is and can actually duplicate that hash. So it's like sending him a secret number, except it's only 6 digits, and it changes every 30 seconds. But that's a standard. So that's why there's so many people who have written these authenticator apps. I just feel like I want to trust Microsoft or Google.
Want to go to the big guys. Yeah, Google or Microsoft. Yeah. I could be wrong about this last point, but I think this is true. With most authenticator apps, in writing this, of course, I'm testing it on every single platform. So if I go to put my Microsoft account on the iPhone using the Google Authenticator app, and it's generating codes, it's working great. But then I decide to use the Microsoft Authenticator app on.
You should get the same number each time.
The iOS app no longer works. Those codes don't work.
Really?
Well, I believe.
Oh, no. You know why?
I mean, in other words,
you've generated a new secret number. That's why. So here's what I do.
Oh, so you don't actually have to do that.
You don't have to do that. What I do is I use LastPass, but if you use a password wallet with a secure note feature, I take a picture of the QR code. The QR code is just the secret number.
Oh, and you reuse it. Oh, that's classic.
Then you can use, because I install new phones all the time. So I keep in my LastPass my Outlook QR code, my Google QR code, all that stuff. When I get a new phone, you set up the authenticator, you may take a picture of the QR code. It's because it's the same secret number, it doesn't invalidate any of the other ones.
Here's what's weird about the Microsoft Account app. You can install that in addition to another authenticator app.
Right.
It works fine.
I just did it. I'm doing it on my Android. Yeah.
I don't know why. It just does. So
yeah. Well, as long as you use the same secret number, you can use multiple authenticators. They don't invalidate one another.
In other words, you don't have to fool it. Like, it just does work. The other thing is, you know, make sure when you're setting up your account that you have different ways for Microsoft to contact you. So if for some reason you're out in the world and you need to generate a code, but you don't have your phone, they can text you or call you, because Microsoft will call you and read it over the phone.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room is saying if you use the Microsoft Account app, it will invalidate the Google Authenticator.
On the same phone?
On the same, maybe, just a word of warning.
Why? Okay, but why would you have two on the same phone? I mean, I look at this like I use different
phones. Use one or the other, right.
It's kind of handy having it on two different phones.
So I'm doing setup now. I sign in to my Microsoft account, and I have LastPass, so it'll just fill that in.
Yep.
And then I presume that I'm going to give it the secret numbers, right? I'll take pictures of the QR codes, right?
With the Microsoft account app.
Yeah. Is that how it works?
I don't remember, but
I'll try it. There are other ways of authenticating that it might use another method. I've used authentication solutions from other folks that work kind of the same way, where it's kind of automatic. I don't know. So it may be using a different kind of authentication, which might have some impact on that. Use with caution, I guess I would say.
I guess you did take a picture of the code, the QR code, whatever it is.
I used to use Duo Security, and I don't know, maybe Microsoft's licensed Duo Security, but that's how Duo Security works, is it's not a six-digit number. Somehow does that thing that the Microsoft does where it just says, okay, you're authenticated.
Yeah. And then what's amazing about it is, you know, when this happens, you're on a website, you're in an app, on a tablet or something, and when it's accepted in the mobile app on your phone, that authentication thing on whatever other device just goes away. It just works.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I'm going to try it, and I will give you some feedback. But as I'm doing that, let's get to Daniel Rubino and his pick of the week, which is not in the note. Oh, no, it is. I see it right here.
Oh, the Pimp My Band?
My Band. What is My Band?
No, Pimp My Band.
Pimp My Band.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a third-party app. It's one of the few that are hitting the store now. There's a couple that are coming out now that modifies the Microsoft Band, which is what people love with technology. It's like, all right, you gave me this, so let me fix it for you. So this app is a multifaceted app. It was 99 cents, so I believe it's free right now. And its main feature is it lets you change the Me Tile image, what they actually call the Me Tile, the main photo on the band, to whatever you want. And so you can do solid colors if you want to be boring, or you can actually import any photo you want. You can see in that image there, I actually made a picture of myself. But you could do your family, you could do your dog, and it looks really good. I mean, one thing you got to say about the Microsoft Band, the display on it is actually really solid. And so you can change that. But a new update came out, and it lets you change the language on the band to, I believe it's Spanish, French, Italian, and I think maybe German. There was four languages. And so although those people can't buy the band right now in their countries, a lot of people are still paying, you know, a little more money online through eBay or something and buying it that way. So for those people, they don't have to settle for an English version language band. They can actually change the language on it directly using this tool. And this tool also lets you do a couple other little things. And I just think it's a great example of sort of the ingenuity that's coming out with the band and what people are doing with it.
Neat. Paul, so after I set this up, I got a text message from Microsoft to this phone validating it with a link. And now it's just going to sit there, right? And if a new request comes in, but it doesn't give me like it's not going to work with for Google or another two-factor authenticators.
The other authenticator apps support multiple accounts and multiple accounts of the same type too. Which
but this is great. I mean, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So what do I do? So I would get a request that would show up on this phone when I log into my Microsoft account.
You're somewhere. You could be on that phone, but you could be anywhere. You could be on your computer, on the web, be on a tablet. Doesn't matter. You go to log in, you know, you go to OneDrive.com on a different computer,
right?
Type your username and password. When the thing for the code comes up, you're going to get a notification on that phone that you just installed the app on, and the notification is going to say accept or deny.
Got it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's really cool the way it works.
Now, if I don't have my phone with me, I'm screwed.
No, you always have a chance to use a different.
So I could use the authenticator because I have Outlook in my authenticator. Or is that going to validate
text message?
It?
You could
your backup.
They can email
your
you.
Backup.
Plan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Pimp My Band is free, by the way. It has a nice diamond on the icon, so you know you have the right Pimp My Band. Not some imitation.
Yeah, they also have some similar other apps out there. Ones that if you lose your band, you can send a signal from your phone to vibrate it and wake it up. And there's another one to clear your notifications.
Love it.
Yeah.
You're pick number two.
Hutro. So I'm a big Philips Hue person, a few Philips Hue bulbs, the smart bulbs for your house. And unfortunately, like on most Windows things, phones things, we don't have an official app from Philips. So this is up to the third parties. Luckily, Philips is a pretty good company with opening up their APIs to third-party developers. They're not crazy about it. So they this developer here has made this app. It's completely free, and it does everything that I have the official Philips Hue thing. You can set, of course, your schemes. You can control individual lights. It has geofencing, so it knows when you come home and leave. And, you know, it's really good. It configured the tap and the different hardware that's out there now for Philips. So if you're thinking about getting into Philips Hue or you already have it, you can use this app to control everything. And what's cool with Windows Phone, of course, you can pin individual scenes to your start screen for quick access. So I can just tap a tile and it'll automatically launch that scene for me. I don't have to go into the app and, you know, do that stuff. So really, really great work by a single developer, and goes to show you sort of the power that, you know, people can do on these devices.
This is another reason why I find frustration with the Windows Phone is Hue, Sonos, all the things that I control with my other phones.
Yep.
I don't have apps for it. Now, they're third-party apps, and this one looks pretty good, but sometimes the quality, like, I've yet to find a great Sonos controller.
Two things on there. There's a good one called Phonos, which actually Sonos actually endorses as sort of the alternative.
Right.
And the other thing on there is a Sonos app being worked on right now.
Oh,
so it's actually in development, and it's probably in the later stages, so it should be out pretty soon.
It's funny. It's little things like that. It's the same reason I can't just use a Chromebook. There's no – I can't control my Hue lights or my Sonos. Those little things, maybe little, but they can make a difference in terms of what I want to use. Finally, since Mary Jo's not here and Paul is shrinking, maybe we can get a beer pick from Daniel Rubino.
Yeah, so I'm not nearly as worldly when it comes to beers as Mary Jo. No one could compete with that. However, I do occasionally indulge in the libations. And Blithering Idiot is one that I had recently that I really enjoy. It's made by Weyerbacher Brewing Company. It's an English barley wine. So Paul and I have discussed this before, how we both hate hops, and this is a very anti-hop beer. It's strong in the malts. It's a very strong beer. It's 11% alcohol. So I tend to drink the beers that are all 10% higher alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
And so I'm a real big fan of barley wines and the quads. And so if you don't like hops or you like something that's very malty, this is a really good choice, I think. And matter of fact, I think I'm going to go buy one for tonight because why not?
Sounds good. Yeah. We're all having barley wine. Paul recommended a barley wine last night. And that's why Paul's on the floor right now. Yeah. Paul, I hope you feel better. I hope you have a great time in Fort Collins. Is there snow on the ground?
No, not really. I see little patches here and there.
So you came here for the spring weather. That way.
Yeah.
We're going to be back. 70? In Fort Collins?
Yep.
What?
I know.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm jealous now. Well, have a great time, and I hope you feel better soon. We'll be
back to
our regular time next week, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on Wednesdays. That's Windows. Scary, Paul. He looks like the neighbor on Tulsa. Improvement. Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, neighbor. 11 a.m., 2 p.m. What was it? 1800 UTC on Wednesdays, Windows Weekly, twit.tv/WW for episodes and more information, show notes. But if you want, you could also subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or get one of those great apps. There's actually a really nice Twit app. I think there's a couple on Windows Phone. Dimitri Allen wrote a beautiful.
Mm-hmm. There's some on Windows too. There's some
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. So thank you, third party developers, for making it possible. Paul, feel better. Daniel, thanks. Great to have you. Daniel's at WindowsCentral.com. Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com.
Yeah, Daniel, thanks for joining this week.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Daniel's great on the show. And I should mention that Windows Central is part of the Mobile Nations group. So we love Renee Ritchie and Serenity Caldwell, all the Mobile Nations fan folks, the Android folks. And to, you know, what is the Android
Phil Nickinson at Android Central.
Android Central, right, yeah.
Yep.
Well, nice to... But you're not in Canada.
No. I'm in Boston, right in front of Paul.
Just down the road from the guy with the disease. Okay.
You'll be fine. You're upwind.
Feel better, Paul. Really get a nice hot toddy. And yeah, thank you for doing the show. I appreciate it. And thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.